I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Hey, guys. Welcome to Teen Mom OG. We're quarantine style, obviously here for this after show. I'm your host, Mackenzie Frank, and I have the lovely Bree joining me today.
Hi, everybody.
All right. So we have a lot to cover. Again, this was a crazy episode. This was season 8, episode 20, if you're wondering. And it is titled, I Am Not Okay. So a lot to unpack. Bree, I know you said, like, what did you think? What were your overall thoughts about this episode?
It was, obviously the Mackenzie stuff was, like, really hard to watch still for me. Like, I know last week we thought it was going to be hard. For some reason, this week was harder for me.
Yes.
I think it's just like, I can't imagine losing a parent. I haven't thankfully lost a parent, and I cannot imagine what that feels like or what going through that is like. And I just felt so bad for her, and it's like she's trying to communicate so hard but she can't, so obviously that was really hard for me. And then I think the rest of it is just like, it's just kind of like we're getting into the middle part of the storylines for a lot of these couples. So I think, you know, we're not, it's a lot of like what's coming up right now. So I think Mackenzie's storyline was hard for me this week. And then the rest I felt like was pretty, you know, it wasn't like anything drastic. Like we're kind of like getting to, not that it's scripted, obviously, but if this was a scripted series, this would be like the like setup parts to like what's going to happen later.
No, I totally agree. I mean, like, even Cheyenne's part, I mean, we can breeze through that. She is putting Ryder in this preschool prep class. She drops her off. Ryder could care less. That was literally, like, it. But I did want to say one of our listeners, Becky J from Instagram, had wanted me to mention, and I think it's such an important part about Cheyenne's whole storyline this week, was when she dropped Ryder off at this preschool, she said like no one really greeted Ryder at all. And she was wondering like if it has to do with editing, which I wonder too, and I'm sure it is, but just to throw it out there, like,
yeah,
was she even greeted?
I feel like it has to be editing. I feel like there's no way that you have a school, especially nowadays, where like nobody's coming up to greet you. So I feel like that was editing. To me, the part that stuck out to me about this whole storyline was when Cheyenne said she doesn't need any friends but me. I feel like that's just like this like foreshadowing for later on in Ryder's life.
Yep. Another part about Cheyenne's whole part section this week, I really loved when she's playing Barbies with Ryder and she's just like, where's Taylor? Tuck Taylor into bed and like, okay, let's take care of Taylor. Like one of the Barbies was Taylor, one was Daddy. Like it was just so sweet to see, like, she really does have such a strong connection with Taylor.
And I'm glad, because like obviously in those years of childhood, like I don't, like there's that whole thing where it's like, do they remember, like their memories are so like in the moment that like how quickly will it be before she's not even like thinking about it? So I'm glad Cheyenne's like still incorporating Daddy and Taylor like into their playtime. So it's like still this kind of reminder, like they're not here, but like they are here with us. I liked that a lot. And that she still talks to Taylor and calls Taylor and lets Ryder talk to her. I thought that was really, really cool.
So sweet. I mean, such a great mom in that sense of like really showing her who's important and her family in her life. I loved it too. Another mom that just blows me out of the water. I really cannot, as a parent, she's just so gold, like golden to me. And that's Macy. Like in this episode, we kind of talk about, you know, Bentley excelling in school and sports, and he has his eye on this private school. His core group of friends from wrestling go there. So that's kind of what's drawing him, because at first I'm like, what the heck is this kid so hooked on private school about? I didn't even know about private school in fifth grade. Like, what is he talking about? But he's in all these extracurricular activities. And if a lot of them go to these private schools and they talk about it, then, you know, obviously, right?
I had kind of forgotten that whole storyline where Jen and Larry implanted, like, the private school idea into his head. So I was like, oh, right, that did happen. Because I remember how Matt McKenzie, or not McKenzie, sorry, Macy was when he came back and talked about that. Because she's like, it's not your place to like input this stuff into his head that like I don't even know if we're going to say yes to. Like, you should talk to me about it. But I am glad that, you know, she's like saying this is what he wants to do, so I'm going to let him do it. But that she's also like, you know, if this is what you want, like, this is a lot of money and you're gonna have to do good. Like, you're gonna have to keep up your schoolwork. You're gonna have to keep up your grades because we're not paying for this if you're just gonna slack off. So I thought that I like that she kind of treats Bentley like an adult already. I know he's only like 10, 11, but she really treats him like he's an adult. She talks to him like he's an adult. She doesn't like sugarcoat things. And I think that that's really cool because a lot of parents don't do that and they really sugarcoat everything. And I think that that's a respect thing with her and Bentley.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's really awesome how she handled the whole thing. And I think it's nice, like he's not going there like it's just another school. Like, he's going there on a privilege. So it's going to be a totally different thing. And to have that mentality in going into sixth grade, like, oh, like I have stuff riding on this. Like, I won't be able to stay in the school if I don't keep my grades up, if I'm not doing excelling in sports and whatever, is such a great quality, I feel like, for a young little adult to grow up, you know what I mean?
It's also such an interesting thing that he really wants to go. Gene and our chat saying Bentley was brainwashed for private school, which maybe potentially, like, yeah, Jen and Larry might have been like implanting that for a while. I don't know, but it is such a weird thing because usually when you see these storylines play out on TV, especially with these younger kids, they don't want to leave their friends. They don't want to leave what they're used to, and they'd be like fighting to not go to a school that was like this.
Yeah, I think it does have to do with Jen and Larry, but I don't think if it wasn't for these, like they specifically said his core group of wrestling friends go to this private school. So I think that is probably like the main motivator for him. It's like they all have the same life, they're all together, they go to wrestling and he only gets wrestling with them. That's it. And you know, he feels like if he goes, so I think it's more of like he wants to be part of like his friends, which is fine. But the way Macy handled it with the, you know, you can take the test and we'll see, we're still not gonna, you know, whatever. And I just thought it was funny. Like, it's like, yeah, you can keep testing the kid in all these different ways. Like, at first it was like, okay, we can think about private school if you know, score the top in your class. He does it. We can talk more about it if you do good and you pass this exam. It's just so cool. And then she's just like, okay, well, he keeps achieving everything that I hand out to him, so I kind of have to like let him. But she just tells him in such a straight, direct way, like you were saying, and it was great. But $12,000 a year for middle school,
Yeah, that's insane.
that's insane. I don't even remember middle school. What was it even like? What did I even do? I have no idea.
It like takes me back to what was it, one or two episodes ago when Macy was talking about like the birth control, and she's like, you know, we're so privileged to be in a position where we can afford to have this, but like a lot of people aren't, and I feel like this is a very similar situation. Like, if not for like Teen Mom, I don't know if they could afford to like let him go to this place. So I'm glad that she is saying like this is a lot of money because I, you know, he's grown up around cameras his whole life. Like, maybe he doesn't even realize
Yeah,
what
that's
the cost of
true.
things really are. So I'm glad that
Well,
she's letting him know.
he passes the exam and he gets in, and now he just has to go through this big interview process, which I'm really excited to see. I think this is super cool, that he's doing it, and he's such a just poised and mature boy, and I just feel like he has such a good head on his shoulders because of Macy, and it's really, really cool to see. We move on to Caitlin though, who she's put the vet tech stuff aside. I
Were
think it just
you surprised by that? Sorry, I just have to butt in for
no,
doing it.
no, were you?
No.
No, she was too much for her. You know, I wish that she had more of a
Do you
push.
remember when they both wanted to be like counselor? I feel like she's like, I love Caitlin, but I feel like she's like one of those people that every year has like a different thing that she wants to
Yeah.
do. Like, she, and I think that that's just showing that she really still doesn't know what she wants to do. Like, she has all these interests that she likes, and that she's in, like, she loves animals. She loves, you know, she gave up her daughter, so she loves the idea of like counseling and fostering children and like being a part of that. Like, but I think that she doesn't 100% really know what she wants still.
Yeah, but think about it. She's not even trying to figure it out. Like, how, if you don't put yourself in those positions to learn and figure it out, then you're never going to know. So I think she, like, somebody should have pushed her and said, like, yeah, go get a receptionist job at a vet so you can be around it and be in the environment and see if that's what you like.
Or
and
then volunteer if there's something like that.
Yes. I mean, you know, it shouldn't be like, no, I'm putting it off for now, like, and that's it.
It's also worrisome because it's like, again, kids are just such sponges. And if they see you doing that with everything in your life, like, that's going to be, like, this whole thing for them growing up. Like, oh, if I don't like something or if I don't want to do it, I don't have to. Or if I feel like it's too hard or too much, I won't try. So it also is a worrisome thing for, like, their kids growing up, like, seeing that kind of unstableness.
Yeah, absolutely. And then talk about another thing that their kids are seeing. Ashley, this friend that is living with them, they catch her in this lie of she also, they're letting her use their car.
They're giving her everything.
Everything. So the rule is she goes to work and comes home. But one day she doesn't come home and they're like, where were you? And she's like, oh, I stayed at a coworker's. And then Tyler checks up on her at her ex-girlfriend's house, and she was there. And it was like, you know, he sent her a picture, and they catch her in this weird lie. And it's just too bad that they have so many addicts in their lives, and they are just such good people that they want to keep helping.
It's also like, they notice the signs too, because there's so many addicts in their lives. So they notice, like, oh, like, this is just a lie. But when does a lie turn into you lying about something more serious? When does you hang out with this person that's a bad influence on you or has been a bad stigma on you in the past becomes that again? So I'm glad they put their foot down with it, but I hope that they stick to that. So if she does keep lying, or if she does keep kind of going back to these old patterns of things, that they really do, like, and hopefully they've been through this enough time that they do, but that they need to, like, stick to what they're saying and be like, well, you can't stay here, because they also can't be a crutch for her either.
Yeah, I don't know. They're just, like, so much better than anybody I feel like I know or myself, because this Ashley girl, she, like, annoys me when I'm watching, because I'm like, what are you doing? You couldn't even imagine what you have right now. Like, you would be in jail if it wasn't for them. They have two little girls. You can't, like, what? It's just mind-boggling that she's acting like this. And it's like, if this is really who you are without drugs or anything, like, it's hard for me not to believe that drugs are not involved. That's what I'm trying to say.
And maybe they are. I mean, she's going to have to be doing, she's on parole, so she's going to have to do drug testing. So if.
Oh, that's true.
If drugs are involved, we'll find out very shortly. Gina in our chat is saying Tyler and Kate need to stop being the go-to when anyone is trying to get sober. It does kind of feel like that. It feels like maybe because of their parents, they feel like this need or want to then continue to help people maybe before it gets to the point of their parents. I don't know, but it does kind of feel that way to me too. And they don't think about themselves completely.
Yeah, and I mean, that my point wasn't it's crazy that there's so many addicts in their life. It was like, my point, actually, I've worded that so badly, but like, it's crazy that there are so many addicts in their lives and they still help every single one of them. Like, the sister, the dad, this friend, like, and to the point where they're having them around their little girls in their house. And I'm not knocking them for this. I think they're amazing people and really great friends, but it's just, they're wearing themselves out. And it's not like they have, like, yeah, I think their relationship's great right now, but it's not like they have the most stable relationship in their life and in the world. And to add this to the mix, and then also, like, Kate trying to figure out what she has to, like, they need to just, like, solidify and create such a good, strong foundation for their household and their family and their marriage before they can afford all these distractions, I feel like.
100% agree. And, like, it just makes me think too, like, remember when they had the two houses and they left his sister back when she was, you know, on drugs and stuff, like, stay at their house, and she ruined it. It's like, luck, like, I don't know, like, it's, I know that she's under your watch, but, like, it it's a kind of the same kind of worry. It's like, what if she, like, maybe she can't destroy your house because you're there, but, like, maybe she will destroy your car or destroy something with your kids. I don't know. Yeah, they need to be careful, but I do applaud them for being such good people. I don't know if I could do that.
Yeah.
I don't know if I have the patience to do that time and time again.
Another one who has some patience are Gary and Christina, because Amber brings Dimitri all the way from Belgium, and Gary even goes as far as picking this guy up from the airport with Amber. Could you believe that?
No. And I was waiting. I was like, can someone please just be like, why are you dating? Why are you talking to someone? Because, I mean, it's really nice that Gary and Christina are being very supportive of this and, like, trying to help out. And, like, very glad that Gary was like, also, here's condoms. Please don't get pregnant, because...
But he's like her dad!
I know, but that's the whole thing. It's like, I don't... Why is she dating?
Why is she dating?
Like, this is not the time to be getting into a relationship. And, like, you're talking to this guy from Belgium, and he's coming over to America for 3 months? He's staying with you for 3 months? You barely know. Like, this is just the same freaking patterns that we've seen time and time and time again from Amber.
That's what I was going to say. 3 months? 3 months? What does this guy have going on in his life? What does he do for work that he can leave for 3 months? What?
But, look at all the other guys in her life, too. Like, Matt, nothing's going on. Kanan lived in
the right like
away.
That.
Why am I blanking on his name right now? This last guy. Andrew.
No, I do too.
He had a job and he like up and left his entire life to move in with her in where does she live? Nebraska. She
lives
Indiana.
Yeah.
It's like, that's right. Chelsea lives in Nebraska. But yeah, no, she lives in Dakota. I don't know. They're all over the place by this point.
They all live wherever.
But yeah, it's like, I feel like all of these guys, one, why are all these guys like willing to like just uproot their lives to go like live with someone they just met? And two, why does she just keep allowing this when it keeps ending poorly? Like, just stop.
I really, like, it's just so crazy. I feel like I'm really good at reading people. I always say this, especially with the show, when we get introduced to these new boyfriends and these new guys or girlfriends or whatever. I think I have a really, like, I pride myself in this. I think I'm really good at, like, first impression kind of thing. And I need a little bit, you know, I need a lot of information, but I'm good at like kind of pinpointing it. So like, I know people that literally do exactly this, and the red flags are so there. And it's just so plain and easy to see when you can uproot your life. Like, you have nothing. Like right now, if I had a boyfriend or whatever, I would have so many things tying me down. Like, say he was in like Nebraska. There's no way I could go there, first of all, for 3 months. Second of all, like, move there. You know what I mean? Like,
I mean,
it's just a red flag.
Yeah, and that, the fact that you're on TV, it's like, if you weren't on TV, it just moved. None of them would be doing this for you. None of them.
No. No. I mean, money and, yeah, the exposure. It's just crazy. But staying for 3 months, that just drove me crazy. And it's just funny. Every single season, Amber has like a new guy, and it's so great. And you know, I know people
like Matt was the most consistent of all of them, and like he had such a sordid past that she knew nothing about. And then it's just stop. Just take care of yourself. Go get you the help you need. Stop worrying about relationships. Stop worrying about all these other people. Because it's just a Band-Aid.
Like,
this is just a Band-Aid to be happy for, like, a small second. And then you're going to get into your depression or get into the mental illness stuff again. And it's just going to repeat and repeat and repeat. And I'm just tired of it. Just, we need something different or just stop.
This is absolutely, like, textbook, like, type of dating and type of relationships that people with mental illnesses that are not okay, like, are not on the up. For a part of it or whatever. This is the kind of relationships they get into, these big red flags, these like not good for them kind of men. Like, it's like
what's addiction?
It's like, yeah, it's crazy.
It's like,
and I
used to do like drugs, like the high was the drug, but now you're not doing drugs, so the high are these relationships.
Yep, exactly. And it's just so sad. But yeah, I mean, at one point she's like, yeah, I'm going to need some Gary times. Like,
okay.
Why are you planning on having sex with this guy? You just met him 4 seconds
also,
ago.
Also, you introduced him to your daughter when you just met him. Like, that's one, just, I know moms, I know single moms, and, like, they are so guarded of their kids. Like, they really need to be serious about a guy before they will even think about introducing them to their kid. And, like, so you've been talking to him online, but also you've just been going through all this course of, like, how long have you actually been talking to this guy? And you're going to introduce him to your daughter? Like, you're letting him live with you, and now you're introducing him to your daughter, who has seen all these guys rotate in and out of your life?
I know. And who's, like, her little brother that's only a year old. Like, what happened to his dad? You know what I mean? Like, all of a sudden. And I know Leah knows and stuff, which is also sad. But you're right. It's just so bizarre. I feel like Amber is, like, an aunt, like a distant aunt to Leah that comes over and it's like, oh yeah, my wacky aunt has a new boyfriend this week, you know?
Yeah. And I also, like, for as much as I think Gary and Christine are great people, I also feel like at this point doing these kind of things for Amber is just allowing this to happen, and it's like giving her that crutch to allow it to let these things happen. It's like, I don't know,
like,
why
enabling her.
Yeah, enabling, yeah. Thank you, that's the word. I don't know why they're so okay with all of this.
I just think at this point they feel like if they are fully involved, like fully involved in Amber's life and her relationships, then they can, like, I don't think they think they can do anything about it if there's a problem, but they can just be there to, like, understand it more or whatever. Instead of being on the back burner, not knowing anything. I just think, you know what I mean? Like, if you have a really bad teenager, wouldn't you just rather them do the bad things at your, this is such a bad scenario that I'm going to say, but, like, instead of sending them out to, like, do bad things, like, okay, just be home and do it so I can, does that make any sense? Not that,
yeah,
I
no,
be...
no. I mean, I see what you're saying. And Kyla in our chat, sorry if I got your name wrong, said it's easier said than done. We can say she needs to focus on her and her kids, but it's hard for her to do it, which is true. I just, that's why I'm saying, like, I just, like, don't know if Gary should, would, I don't know. It feels weird that Gary allowed him to come over and meet Leah.
And to pick him up and to, like, chauffeur out. It was like literally her dad was saying, all right. And he was like, you two look really cute together. And they're in the back seat kissing. And it was just really odd. And I hated every minute of it. But
yeah,
I can't.
Maybe it's
more.
What you're saying. Maybe it's that he feels like, you know, if I'm, like, make it okay for her to be around me, then I can, like, stop something. Maybe that is it.
Yeah.
And Gina in our chat said, Amber sadly will never have any maternal relationship with her children. She doesn't. And has never put her children first.
Spot on. It's sad, but it's true. It's so true. So, all right. We move on to Mackenzie, who we have this memorial service for her mom at the school that she worked at. And, you know, one of the speakers said she was only 50. She won the race that was set before her. She finished strong, even though you hurt, she doesn't. And I thought those were such nice words. I wish we could have seen more of that, although it was torture to watch. I was literally sitting there, couldn't even see through my eyes with tears, but it was really sweet. And it was such a nice thing that they put on for her memorial service. And I love seeing it. But for real, like, shit goes down after this. And I, like you were saying, like, I haven't lost a parent. I cannot even imagine what she's going through. But the hardest part is the calm after the storm. And to be completely honest with you, that phrase, I've heard it a million times in my life, but it's never meant so much than it did in that scenario for some reason to me. Like, the calm after the storm is the hardest part for her. Which makes so much sense. Like, the little things that remind her of her mom just set it off. And it's like, yeah, we went through this crazy storm, this crazy bad time. And now that it's all calm, like, that's the weird part. Like, that's the awful part.
Well, it's
part.
Almost like going through all the crazy times, like, while you knew she's sick and like she's probably not going to make it through this, or even when you knew for a fact she wasn't when you brought her to the hospital, it still like kept you busy. Like you were still taking care of her, you were still like getting through all this stuff, like and doing. And now it's like there's nothing to do but think about it.
Yeah, and I mean, she said at one point, she said like everyone says it gets easier, but I don't understand that. And so my mom lost her mom when she was 23. So my mom was young when she lost her mom. And my mom has always said my whole life, and I like, it makes me so sick to even hear it, but she always said like, people say it gets easier, like time heals. And she's like, that's not true. Like it doesn't get easier. There's not a day that goes by that gets easier. It's just, I forget what she says, but I think she says something along the lines of like, you're able to maybe not think about it as often, but she says like, there's not a day that goes by that don't think about it and it hurts just as bad. Which yeah. is so
my mom
sad.
Is the same way. My mom also lost her mom at a young age, and she says the same kind of thing. And yeah. like she's like, even when she feels like she's gotten past it, something can happen that brings her right back. So I think it's more not that it gets easier, the fact that you don't have them. I think it's more, like you said, that maybe there's just days where you're not thinking about it as often.
Yeah, it's just like, so ridiculous that I don't even like have words for it, but it's just so sad. And she is going through all of this, mind you, she's like putting her relationship trauma and drama on the back burner for, you know, because she's dealing with all these emotions with her mom. And her mom really didn't, we had said it in the previous episodes, that it seemed like her mom really just kind of pushed her to stay with Josh, like whether it was because of faith or whether it was because she really just wanted them to. But I don't think it was ever like a, hey, Mackenzie, if you really don't want to be in this, you don't have to be in this. And I don't know if she ever got that, which really sucks. But we have this conversation with Josh and she's just crying. Like,
oh my God, when she said, I don't want to be alive anymore.
Yeah, and then he gets up and, like, walks away and gets all pissed at her. And I know that this was going to be, like, a big topic of this night to talk about. So let me hear your thoughts on that first. Like, what do you think about the fact that she's crying out for help, like, you know, saying all these things, suicidal, all these things, and he's walking away and doesn't...
Yeah,
and doesn't...
it just feels like they don't speak the same language in terms of like what they need in a relationship. Like, she obviously, and she's being very vocal about everything, and he like can't be vocal, like, and maybe that's his own thing, and maybe he deals with stuff in a different way. But it's like hard when you have someone that's so vocal, and it's so frustrating to like just watch someone be like, I need you, and I don't know why it hurts, but it hurts, and I don't know why I'm crying, but I'm crying. And then he just walks away. It's like his instinct is like, leave her alone, but that's not what she needs. Or maybe it's because you don't want to see her like that, maybe it's because you don't know how to help, maybe it's because you don't know what to say. I don't know what the reason is, if it's more selfish or what. I mean, it seems selfish to me to walk away when you know someone just lost their mother.
Yeah, and I know a lot of people are attacking him in this situation, and I know it looks bad, and I want to give my thoughts on it. So I'm in a relationship with my husband, obviously, and he, so I was going to say, I'm in a relationship with somebody that is very, like, emotionally not at the same level as I am. I'm such a crier. I'll cry at a commercial. I'm so open about my feelings. And he's never been like that. We've been together for almost 10 years and he's never, ever, ever been like that. And I can relate to her relationship, like not her relationship. We have a totally different relationship, but I can see a lot of like my husband and Josh. And that might sound really bad from what you guys see, but my point is there are people like that just don't know how to, first of all, be with somebody that is so emotional. And I think obviously she's so emotional because of a real serious reason. But she had even said too, like, regardless of this, she's like, me and Jaxie are very alike. We're very emotional people. And then she said, you and Gannon are very alike. And I don't like that about him because I don't want him to feel like he can't express himself and have emotions. And one of the things I just have to point out in the right now was what Josh said at the end of this episode when they were in the bedroom together, and he says, you know, he said something like, you know, it's really hard for me to open up. I'm really bad at feelings. He's like, but you know how I feel. I love you. So when he said that, my whole thought about this whole episode and her scene, like, changed for me, because yes, did he do wrong? Absolutely. I'm not defending him whatsoever. Do I think he should have walked away? Absolutely not. I think she was crying out for help and seriously, like, suicidal, needed that support. Absolutely. And if you like that, that's his job. That's your job. I'm sorry. You're the husband. That's your job. But my point is, if I can try to articulate this in some way, is that guys like Josh are so emotionless that it almost seems like you need to spell it out for him. So I just wonder if in a situation like that, she could have laid there and was crying in the first conversation they had. And if she could have said something like, I don't know what to do with myself. I'm losing it. You know, say what she said and be like, I just need you to hold, like, tell him specifically, I just need you to, this is what I need you to do. This is how I'm feeling. And this is what I need you to do. Do you know what I mean? Because
yeah, no, that way, I hear you.
That way he knows what is expected of him and what will help her. So then we can go from he's just an asshole, he doesn't care about her, to I don't think he knows. Like, I truly just don't think he knows.
I'm hearing you, like, and like I get it, because like my dad is the same way. He's a very stoic person, not a lot of emotion, and my mom's very emotional, so I've seen that my whole life. But it's like that thing where I think, like, maybe it's relationship therapy or something like that, but they need to learn how to communicate on that same wavelength. And that's what I was trying to say before, was just that they aren't communicating right. And like him walking away is not going to help. And maybe he doesn't know how to help, but then, like you said, maybe it's just sitting there and holding her. Maybe it's doing that. So, and obviously when she's in this state, I don't think she can think clearly about what she even really needs from him at that point, because she's so overcome. So I think they really need to go to like a couples therapist or something like that, and like when they're both not in a state that they're in at this point, talk and be like, when I get like that, this is what I need from you.
Yeah, I mean, it's so difficult, and they definitely need to go to counseling. I mean, they've needed to go to counseling, like a real counselor weekly, for years now, and I think a lot of people could benefit from that. I think it's so helpful. I don't think you need to be on the verge of a divorce to do something like that. But with this, yeah, I hate that. Like, I think he has a bad rap from like other stuff that he's done. But if you just take this one situation into consideration, it's just so hard to judge him off of just that, because no, he shouldn't have left. But I think he panicked. I think he just panicked. I don't think he knew what to do. And you have to understand, yes, her feelings are so heavy. But his, like, he has feelings too. And, you know, he's known this woman, like, it's hard for him too. He has all these kids. His wife is crumb. Like, there's a lot going on for him too. And I'm not trying to say it's, like, worse than her. It's not. But it's hard, and being emotionless and not knowing how to just comfort somebody, and him freaking out, like, it's just so hard. So I don't want people to watch it and be like, oh, F Josh, like, he's the worst, like, you need to leave him because of this, because this is such a miscommunication situation. And I mean, could they be not right for each other? Yes, we've seen that. Like, I mean, there's not really much more to say about that, but they do need to go to counseling.
Yeah, they definitely need to learn to speak the same kind of language. And yeah, I think it was just, I definitely don't think he's a bad guy, like, overall. Like, I don't think that he doesn't have good parts to him. I don't think, like, obviously we haven't seen a ton of the good parts. We got, like, one episode of good parts. And, like, the rest of the time we've seen him on the show has been not good parts. So obviously we're forming some sort of perception of him based on what we're seeing. And obviously there's editing, so we know that. But it's still, it's just, it is tough to watch when you see someone, I think, just so where she was, like, so down, so far at rock bottom. And to see someone just walk away from that, I think is, like, it's hard to wrap your head around why he wouldn't just at least sit next to her and hold her, you know? And yes. Not saying that he, again, like, we've already said it, like, he needs to go to counseling and figure out how to do that, but it's just, I think that was the hard part for me, is, like, even if you don't know what to say, even if you don't know how to sing, because guys, obviously, it's been talked about, they're fixers, they always want to fix a situation, but you don't need to fix every situation. Like, there's a lot of situations where women just want to talk, vent, or be held. And, like, so there's always been, like, kind of like that throughout the years, kind of headbutting. So I think what I really wanted him to do was, like, when she said, like, especially that last thing, is just sit down next to her and just hold her. And that didn't happen.
Yeah. I mean, it's that same situation of, like, you fight, like, you know, you hear all the time, like, oh, I fight with my boyfriend and I'm crying. And it's like, if I start crying, how do you not do anything? How do you not hug me? It's like, it's that, but on a more amplified version.
Yeah, it's like
that.
Such a foreign thing to people that have, that are emotional, that, like, we can't understand what that feels like to not understand it.
And you can just see her, a cry out for help. And I'm, you know, it was just such a cry for help. And it was just so heartbreaking to see it not be, like, answered or helped or her, you know, because she says at one point on the phone, she's just like, he was mad, you know, and about it, about her saying that. And she was just like, he's like, you have three kids, Mackenzie, what are you doing? You know, you can't leave, you would leave them. And she's like, no, I wouldn't leave them. She's like, but I feel like I fail them every day anyway. And he was like, what? And she was like, never mind, I'll see you when you get home. It's like, again, like, she has no outlet. She has nobody. And she's trying to give him bits of, like, help, 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 help. And he's not.
And yeah. It's just like when someone, like, is fully saying it to you, like, I need help. Like, not even, like, skirting around that to, like, that. I think that was why it was, like, exceptionally that way. It's, like, it's not like she was, like, at that one point skirting at all. She wasn't, like, talking in hypothetical. She wasn't, like, kind of, like, walking around the problem. She was, like, I'm hurting. I'm in pain. I don't feel like I want to be here anymore, and I need someone. I need something.
And I think they need, like, there are grieving counselors. It's not easy. I don't know. It's really hard to like, console someone that's grieving that severely. And it's even harder to grieve that severely and not know what to do with yourself. Like, I don't even have words. Like, it is so, so insane. That she's gonna to deal with it. But you know, a grieving counselor would help. And I think after this we could probably bet that there'll be some changes,
because I think based on this, if they do not get help, if they do not go to counseling and figure out how they can communicate with each other or be there for each other, I 100% do not think that they will last as a couple.
No, but I do have a little bit more about this in news and gossip. So we'll get on to that right after our special segment. So our special segment tonight is Teen Mom OG. Who's the OG for you in this episode, Bree?
I'm going to give it to Macy, just because I really did like how she talked to Bentley this episode, and I like how she treats him. And I just don't think we see that often when people are dealing with kids, so I'm going to give it to her.
That's so funny. That was mine. I was like, I just give it to Macy because she's a badass mom. How she's so put together and raising her kids. I literally said that. That's so funny.
And while we're, before we move on to news and gossip, I just want to shout out everybody in the chat. Kyla, Jean, Cammie, Mike, Lisa. We appreciate all of you guys being here with us, chatting along with us. You're like our third co-host right now. And if you guys can just help us out, give us that thumbs up if you're watching us live. If you're watching after, go ahead and still give us a thumbs up. Leave a comment below though so we can keep you in part of the conversation. We'll shout you out on the show next week if you do. And then also if you're on iTunes, give us that 5-star rating. It really does help us, and we'll shout you out if you leave us a comment there as well. So we just love you all, and we appreciate having you here, and thank you.
Couldn't have said it better myself. All right, let's move on to some news and gossip. Back to Mackenzie's story. We'll keep it, you know, right up there. Mackenzie was tweeting out about last night's episode against MTV about how, you know, they're just airing all of her unhappy moments and really all of her bad moments. So she tweets out and says, "They filmed so much good stuff with my mom, with Josh and I, and all that's shown is the worst of the worst. That's not who we are." So then she also goes on to say, "And I keep my house so clean, especially when filming. And they decided to make it a huge point tonight to show how messy the boys' room was one month after my mom passed. Like, cleaning was something that was on my mind. My heart hurts that this is even going to air." I mean, seriously, she's so right. They made such a point to show those kids like in the dirty, like messy room, and then like Bronx climbing on a thing. Like, they like all the like just not the best B-roll that they could get of these kids in these moments, like they knew to like get that
was kind of, I think it's a thing that anyone on reality TV has like had issues with time and time again, is the editing and, you know, producer. That's their, not to like say it's okay, because obviously like sometimes they make choices that I would not, if I was in the position, to make, but it is kind of their job to tell a certain story. And their story, this one, unfortunately, was like this grieving mess. And I think that they were pulling all the B-roll they could to like add to that and heighten
another
it.
Another thing, which is fine, like I do get that, but this one I don't really like, because she says Josh dropped everything he had and he was doing and moved in with my dad for over a month to help out and support. He was there as best he could be. None of that will be shown in honor of my mom, but a fight will be shown. The very episode of her funeral. I'm sick to my stomach.
Yeah. Yeah, that seems like you should still show some of the good, even if you're trying to heighten this one story. Like, you still should like show that he was not all not there for people.
That's what we want to see. The fact that Josh literally moved in with her, with a widowed, her widowed father. Like, we want to know that.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know if like reality producers realize that like people will take the good and the bad. Like, they don't need to just be seeing the bad.
No. Yeah. I mean, and I just felt so bad, like, with all that she is going on and everything, and to have like her life just portrayed so badly, which, Mackenzie, if you're watching, like, we don't think that or any of that about you.
Honestly, like, I did not even pay attention to the house at all, except if it was messy. It didn't faze me in any way. And if I did see it as a mess, I probably would have just thought this woman's grieving.
Yeah,
obviously cleaning a house is not her first priority, but I honestly did not even like think like, oh,
no, because we're too bad, like, yeah, we're too bad screaming at our TVs, someone help this poor girl for 5 seconds, thank you. But I am really excited. I'm nervous always to watch next week because of Mackenzie's scenes, because it just is so heart-wrenching. But I'm excited to see like how she just does, I guess. I hope she just I don't even know.
I mean, I think we'll see her get better. Like I said, it doesn't ever stop hurting, but I think we'll see her kind of, if we're going into predictions at least.
Yeah.
Okay. So I think we'll definitely see her start kind of mending. Like, she won't obviously stop hurting, but she won't be feeling it like she is this episode. I think we'll see her get back into her kind of normal life. Like, she's going to start, like, you know, going back to the cheer, coaching and everything, and try to, like, kind of regain some of that normalcy. I think we'll see that. I don't think, and I haven't actually looked into it, obviously we're in the future, but I don't think that Caitlin and Tyler's friend is going to be with them very much longer. Whether that's because of drugs or because just of lying, I just don't think that she will... I don't think if you lied about that, like, I just don't think it's going to all of a sudden you're be like, oh, they talked to me about it and now I'm fine. She's just going to keep trying to get away with whatever she doesn't want them to know. Cheyenne and their storyline, like, I wonder if we're going to just do a huge jump, because I don't know. Unless Cheyenne does something, I think, I wonder if we're just going to jump to him coming back from the challenge.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't know how far we get along, you know, with the storyline, because obviously they won't be, they won't, this was, what, December-ish?
Yeah.
So, like, obviously they couldn't have filmed past March.
And well, I know the beginning filming. Of, the beginning of December, he's still gone, and Ryder goes, gets admitted to the hospital for a couple
that's
of days.
That's right, so yeah, so we're, in, like, in December, so.
So I wonder how that's going to play out, but, one more little, well, I'll tell you my prediction. I put that too. Like, I predict that Ashley and that friend situation is not going to last and, like, work out. I don't, for some reason. And then I also put, like, I think Ryan and Mackenzie will have something negative to say about Bentley going to private school, for sure. And then just another, like, quick, stupid little news and gossip. Right before we went on, I was looking at Mackenzie Edwards' story, Instagram story, and she put, like, a poll up about what does your spouse call PJs, like pajamas? And she goes, because Ryan calls them bedclothes. And I just thought that was super funny.
I think he's probably the only person in the world that calls them bedclothes.
Bedclothes, bed pants, and bedclothes. Oh, I gotta go get my bedclothes on. Like, what?
No. Ryan just is... like, I don't want to say dumb, because I don't like, I don't think, like, he's completely dumb, but, like, he just says things that I'm like,
what is going on? But another thing I wanted to point out, I mean, with Bentley, he must have just started this new school. So I wonder, like, with COVID-19 and then being out of school, like, I'm wondering, like, does she have to pay this $12,000 right now?
Probably, honestly, probably. So, because, like, they're doing all virtual schooling, so they're probably still like, oh, you're paying for us to virtually school your child, even though you're still homeschooling him, kind of, in a way.
Oh, Lord. Well, on the next episode, we have a lot coming up. Amber has Dimitri take a lie detector test. What? I can't wait to see that and how that comes about. I mean, they can't even speak to each other. Bentley's little sister and Ryan's daughter Stella is born, and Mackenzie and Josh take the kids on a beach vacation. So I'm excited to see that. I hope that we can get some happiness out of them and we can see how Josh acts and treats her. We'll see. Tyler and Kate are relaunching their Tara Rain children's clothing line, and some stuff goes wrong, so we'll see that happening. But yeah,
I just, let me just say one thing with Amber and Dimitri. If you need him to take a lie detector test, you shouldn't have had him come to live with you for 3 months.
Actually, you know, Mackenzie's whole scene right now, but we got through it, and I hope next week we have some happy stuff to talk about. Please, MTV. All right. Well, thank you so much. You can find me on Instagram at Mackenzie Frank. Where can we find you, Bree?
You guys can find me at Brie, B-R-I underscore Phipps, P-H-I-P-P-S, all across the board, Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok.
Perfect. All right, guys, we will see you next Wednesday for another after show episode of Teen Mom OG.
Bye.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.